Today is the Sunday following the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And today, if you look at the Synaxarion, which gives us the list of those who we commemorate, it's a very special, to me at least, saint. Actually, saints. It's a family. It's Saint Sophia and her three daughters, known as Faith, Hope, and Love. Now, I can think of few things worse than having to watch my own family tortured and martyred in front of me, and then me being left alive. But that's exactly what they did to Saint Sophia. They tortured and killed her three daughters, aged 12, 10, and 9, in front of her, and in front of each other, I bet. And then they left her alive to think about this, all the while promising deliverance and stopping what they were doing if they would simply give up their Christian faith. You know, we're born with a hole in our heart, a spiritual hole in our heart. And it does two things to us. We seek to fill it, and we seek to fill it together. There's something innate in the human nature that we seek togetherness. We are not meant to be alone. And if here we are in church, worshiping God, drawing to fill that hole in our heart with God, we seek to do it together. But our nature being what it is, if we become confused, if we become misled, deceived by Satan, and we pursue another God, another false God, we won't do that by ourselves. We will seek to do that together as well. We will find other people to do it with, or we will try to bring other people to do it with. And if someone doesn't want to come, then we take that as a personal affront, off with their heads. And that's what the pagans were doing to the Christians. What do you mean you won't come worship Jupiter and Zeus and all that stuff? Well, you know, I'm sorry, we got our own God over here. You just do your thing and we'll do ours. They couldn't stand that. So they had to get rid of them, to eliminate them. Now, that's the opposite of Christianity. It's live and let live, so to speak. But I want to go back to Saint Sophia and her example. Her example as a parent to her children. Now, put yourself in her place. She's standing there, sitting there, tied there, however they had her. I didn't read a lot of the details. I don't really want to. But she stood there and she watched what they were doing. She could hear it. Oh my God, she could hear it. She could see it. She could maybe even smell it. Huh? If you've ever talked to anyone who's been in war, they generally don't want to talk about it, number one. And martyrdom is a lot like war, I imagine. They generally don't want to talk about it, right? So you can't push it. And they will say, if you're lucky, okay, yeah, I saw some things. They won't go into a lot of detail, and I never push. And then you might ask them, what did you hear? And they really don't want to talk about that. And if you ask them, what's the worst thing? And they'll say, what I smelled. And I don't say that to gross you out. I say it to make it real to you. It's one thing to look at a nice icon with pretty colors, and you know, we show somebody kneeled over and they're about to hit him with a sword. It's something else if you're right there going through it. You see it, you hear it, and you smell it. It's real. Folks, this Christian thing we've got is real. It's real, and our opponent is real. So our example of parents, as parents, has to be real too. And I want to congratulate every one of you who are here in church. You are proving by your example that your faith is important enough to you that you're going to sacrifice a Sunday morning, a morning during the week. All the other mornings you're busy. You're up at work, you're at home, maybe mowing grass, whatever. You sacrificed a day you could potentially stay home, and you've come to church. That is a huge, huge example for your children. I encourage you also to pray with your children. Don't let your faith be just a Sunday morning thing. They need to hear you pray. I encourage you to pray together as a family. It doesn't have to be you do the whole divine liturgy, for heaven's sakes. Just do the Lord's Prayer before you go to bed, maybe. Just, you know, collect in front of your icons. Do something short, but do it repetitively. Then you can always build on it. But let them see that your faith is real to you. If you ever get fired from a job, let your kids know, and they're going to know anyway. I mean, they're sponges, right? They see, they hear, they know. They know something's up with mom and dad. Dad's worried about his job. Mom's worried about her mother. Well, do you ever pray about it? Do you say grace before your meals? Do you? Is your faith just a Sunday morning thing? When you're in traffic, do they hear bad words coming out of your mouth? Or do they hear, Lord, have mercy. You know what? Thy will be done. I'm just not meant to get there. If you go to the store and you're looking for that item that was way too high first price, and you ladies know about this. The men don't. We're too impatient. The ladies know if they wait, the price comes down. They run it on sale, coupons, half off, all that stuff. Men just want it. They go in and buy it. And the women shake their heads. Have you ever waited for an item that you really, really wanted, and you went in, it's half price off the clearance. You're like, okay, now we're talking. It's under 10 bucks. Boy, this thing is mine. And then, oops, somebody's gotten it. Do you get mad? Or do you say, you know what? It just wasn't meant to be. You know, is your faith real and does it extend outside Sunday morning? It's where I'm trying to go with that. Is it real? Does it impact the rest of your life? Because these challenges do come up. And I want you to evidence it to your kids. When the rough times come, let them see you praying. Let them, if you're not comfortable with that, fine. Let them see you say, God, help me through this. God's will be done. I'm going to do what I can do. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because that's what the faith is all about. And if you don't have that faith, okay, I mean, here we are, let's be honest, we're among friends, right? If you don't feel like you have that faith, then start there. Pray about that. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to trust you more with health, with money, with whatever it is. And I'm not saying you have to be perfect. For heaven's sakes, each of us, I bet if I took a poll, could rattle off five things just like that of negative examples they've given to their children. I mean, you could do it just like that. Okay, fine. We all make mistakes. Offset it with positive examples. Coming to church, volunteering as an usher, or whatever may suit your skill set and interest. Helping out. And of course, giving to the church. I'm not going to pound you to give money to the church. But that's part of it, right? If you grouse about sending that check off to the church, but have no problem dropping $2,000 for a vacation at Hilton Head, the kids are going to pick up on that. They're going to know that. They're not stupid. They're going to know it. They're going to say, hey, okay, church is worth this much and Hilton Head's worth that much. Huh? Come on. We need to be a good example for our kids. Look, the world out there is hostile to Christianity. Newsflash, it always has been. It always has been. Even when St. Constantine said, come on, you're going to be the legal religion of the church, that just opened up more problems. Really? I mean, that's when the monastic movement kind of started, because the church was flooded with all these people who, well, you know, yeah, they were in church, but did they really believe? Well, no, they were just there because the emperor liked it. So, you know, you got the monks going off into the desert to find the pure stuff, right? And there's a mix there, but there's always challenges. The world killed Christ, right? Satan, in charge of the world, he worked up the crowd and they killed him, right? That's not really changed. They don't like Christ. They don't like the idea of patience. I don't always like it either, to be honest with you. I mean, my nature's as fallen as anybody else's. I am not a patient guy. And I struggle with that. I do mightily. Just ask Presbyteria. She'll tell you. Honey, you come and you complain about the same things all the time. You know, like, she's right. And what's the challenge? To get over numero uno, right? To get over my ego. Well, this just isn't right. I shouldn't have to do it. No. What's that? That's impatience. That's ego. Be good examples as best we can. Because one day, we're going to be on that bed, right? And we're going to be looking at going home. What kind of example do we want to be then? We want to be the example like Saint Sophia. She stood there. She was not martyred, at least physically, like her daughters. They killed her children and they left her alive. Presumably she was in her 30s. Golly, I mean, she's got another 20, 30 years to go. I don't know how long they lived then. That's a long time to think about the death of your kids. They left her alive. But you know what happened? The church counts her as a martyr because of her courageous perseverance. I'm sure she cried. I'm sure she grieved. I'm sure she was angry. But she did not renounce Christ. She did not renounce Christ. She stood there. She probably laid there at their graves for 3 days, crying, mourning, weeping. And on the third day, our merciful Lord took her home to be with her children. She probably died of a broken heart, but she did not die of the sword or the club or some other terrible way. She died of a broken heart, a mother to the end. A mother to the end. And that is what we need to do. That's one reason we talk about the saints so much. They are examples to us of what we can do through the trials and persecutions of this life, whatever and wherever they may be. That next door neighbor you have that has a dog that barks at you every single time you walk into your own backyard. You know, if you get a garden hose and squirt them, it makes you feel good, but it just aggravates the dogs. You know, I wouldn't advise doing that. Look, some of you got that. Some of you smirk. Look, think about your example. Live your faith outside of Sunday morning. It's important to your kids. Don't come to me when your son or daughter is 16 years old and say, Father, you know, say the magic prayer, wave your hands over them, and make them a Christian. Make them want to come to church. It doesn't work like that. I've had people do that. It doesn't work like that. The parents are the number one influence on their children. You may not believe it, but it's true. Yes, peers impact them. Youth ministers impact them. Clergy impact them. Service projects impact them. That's right. But parents are far and away, according to studies, the number one influence. You've got them at home for 18 years. Nobody else has got anywhere near that time, not to mention the biological or emotional connection. Fathers, spend time with your sons. Mothers, spend time with your daughters. That's how they learn to be a man and a woman. That's where they learn to be Christians. We can try later, but it's much harder coming from someone they don't know nearly as well. Think about these things. Pray about them. It's never too late to start. Never too late. If your kids are up and out of the house, it doesn't matter. It's not too late. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor, starting with your children, as yourself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.